I'm going to do the lesson first and then the meditation because I want to talk on prayer and then let you have an experience of what I'm going to talk about. But the most wonderful thing about living is this, that it's never too late to change your thoughts or your goals, your paths or your plans, the comfortable way for the strange. It's never too late to correct a mistake, to go for the best you can find, to shoot for the stars with your feet on the ground, to leave all your failures behind. It's never too late. What a wonderful thought. What a perfect reply to despair. The promise of God that it's never too late to start your life over with prayer. That's from Unity Magazine, 1988. It's never too late to start your life over with prayer. I want to share with you a story from Guidepost Magazine. And this is a true story. I think this is just the most amazing story of healing I've ever heard. In 1965, Barbara Kuminski was a 15-year-old teenager. She loved gymnastics. She played the flute in the orchestra. She was the leader of her youth group at church. But by 1978, she was in a wheelchair. Her hands and her feet were curled up and useless. Her vital organs were failing, and she was on oxygen. Years earlier, she had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, MS, a disease that would short-circuit her whole nervous system. And after visiting the Mayo Clinic, the doctor said to her, "Pray, Barbara. Nothing we can do will stop the deterioration." And here's what she wrote in Guideposts. "Now, after that grim visit to Mayo, I felt a new urgency about my connection to God. The less physical health I had, the more I yearned for spiritual health. I cried out to God, 'Please, please, I can't even read your word. I need something to do.' And over, I pleaded for something to counteract the fact that I could barely move. I craved activity, action. I called out to God for it. And the answer came, not in a flash, not overnight, but through prayer itself. Praying is action. Pray for others. I spent hours in prayer and more hours reading the Bible. When friends came over, I would ask them to read to me or to pray with me. I talked to God often out loud. My condition continued to worsen. A lung collapsed. Technically, I was blind. Everyone knew I was dying. And then came June 7th, 1981. Two friends popped in after the morning worship service at my church. Then as the three of us visited, I heard a fourth voice. A firm, loud, audible voice over my left shoulder. "My child, get up and walk." Startled, I looked at my friends. I noticed that they had not heard the voice, but I was certain that I had heard it. "Joyce, Angela, God just spoke to me. He said to get up and walk. Please run and get my family." I couldn't wait any longer. I took the oxygen tube from my throat, removed the brace from my arm, and actually jumped out of bed. And there I stood on two legs that hadn't seen the weight of my body in over 5 years. I could breathe freely. I could see me, a whole healthy me. My hands were normal, not curled to the wrists. The muscles in my arms and legs were filled out and whole. Angela, an occupational therapist, took my pulse and exclaimed, "Barb, you just wrecked everything I just learned in school. You're absolutely normal." The next day when I walked into Dr. Thomas Marshall's office, he stared at me as if he was seeing an apparition. He had never seen me up, dressed, and walking. One of my surgeons summed up my case like this in a written report. "At the present time, the patient has no findings of multiple sclerosis. Walks normally, speaks normally, and is very happy, as is her family. over the obvious answer to prayer and the good hand of God in her life. Barbara writes, "I don't know why God healed me. I don't believe I earned or deserved a healing any more than I deserved MS. I only know that on the morning of June 7, 1981, I felt good about myself, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually well. Through my prayer life, I was a busy, active member of the human family, not running or jumping or even walking like most people, but not separated from them by bitterness, self-pity, or despair. My mind and spirit were healthy and whole, and then God made my body whole too." Isn't that an amazing story? And so my question to you is, do you have an active prayer life? You know, do you take time every single day to connect with God? You know, one of our basic human needs is to know God. You know, to have a deep, intimate, personal relationship with the one who created us. And how do we do that? By making a commitment to spending time every single day in prayer. It's never too late to start your life over with prayer. And so today we're continuing our series. We're almost to the end of it, based on the five basic principles of unity, five ideas that create the foundation of our unity belief system. And these five powerful principles that will, you know, if you use them, if you work with them, they will transform your life. So our first three Sundays that we talked about these principles, we looked at the nature of God, we looked at the divinity of humankind, and then last week, the law of mind action. And today and next week, we're going to look at the last two principles, and these now are the two action steps. These last two principles are, you know, how we can use, how we can put these principles to work in our life and really use them. And so our five basic unity principles in a nutshell are, and let's say them again. The first one is, God is absolute good, everywhere present, which means God is not a being, is not a person. We talked about that, not a little being sitting in the clouds somewhere, but is an essence, an energy, all loving, all good, all power, all knowledge, everywhere present. Our second principle, together, every human being is an expression of the divine. The Christ Spirit dwells within all people. We, each one of us, has a spark of divinity, the Christ consciousness. It's God individualized in us as us. And our third principle, human beings create their experience by the activity of their thinking. And so, you know, everything we see and experience in the outer world has its beginning in thought. We choose what we create. And then today we're going to be talking about our fourth principle, which has to do with prayer. Together, prayer is creative thinking that heightens the connection with God mind. This is the way we transform our lives, is connecting to God, thinking with God mind. And we're going to talk about that. And our last principle, knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are not enough. We must live them. We must live the truth that we know. And we're going to, next week, or we'll end the series by wrapping up the series by taking a look at how we can put all of this together into action and take it out into the world. So let's talk about what is prayer? What is prayer? What isn't prayer? And what, you know, how do we pray? Prayer is an experience of God's presence and power. It's not the words. And I tell the chaplains that all the time. It's not the words that you say. They may be beautiful and flowery and wonderful. But it's an attitude. It's the consciousness from which you pray. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, in Revealing Word, Unity's Dictionary of Metaphysical Terms, he said, prayer is the most highly accelerated mind action known. It steps up mental action until our consciousness synchronizes with the Christ mind. It is the language of spirituality. Isn't that great? I love that. It's the most highly accelerated mind action known. Doesn't that want to make you sit in prayer all the time? All the time. It steps up our consciousness so it syncs with God mind. Prayer is not babbling away, hoping God is listening. You know, it's not begging and pleading God to give you something. You know, Bill sent me a little email yesterday that said, you know, this is not an example of prayer. Dear God, my prayer for 2011 is for a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't get them mixed up like you did last year. Not prayer. Prayer is also not bargaining. You know, and I know no one in this room has ever said, God, if you do such and such, I will never, ever again do this. That's let's make a deal. Not prayer. So the goal of prayer is to sync with God mind, as Charles Fillmore said. To have a transcendental experience, to lift above the five sense world, to have that experience of the divine, to be changed at depth. Eric Butterworth in The Universe is Calling, which is, I believe, the best book on prayer you will ever find. I assume there are people who are going, yeah, absolutely, who've read it or had a class in it. It is a phenomenal. If you want a great book on prayer that it will explain everything, Universe is Calling, and I know we have some copies in the bookstore. But he says, it is turning the focus of your consciousness away from the problem to your center of being in God, and giving way to the creative flow which will stream forth from within your innermost being. And so we're turning away from the problem, focusing on God, and there is this flow that is within us, this creative force that is within us that will stream forth from every cell of our being. What he's talking about is a relationship with God. It's like stepping into a river and becoming one with that river. Prayer isn't something we do for God. You know, prayer is something that we do to uncover God in us. Because God is not a being. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. God is not a being to pray to. But God is a universal creative flow that we need to get into. It's a spiritual energy that we pray from. And in unity, we pray affirmatively, acknowledging and declaring the truth that already exists in God mind. It already exists, and we're just bringing it forth. We're acknowledging it, and we're stepping into it, and we're being it. It's not something we go find or seek, but it is an energy to come to step into, and our prayers don't change God. Guess who they change? They change us. Emily Cady, author of one of our basic unity textbooks, Lessons in Truth, she said, in daily meditation lies the secret of power. Practice the presence of God just as you would practice music. No one would ever dream of becoming a master in music except by spending some time daily alone with music. Daily meditation alone with God focuses the divine presence within us and brings it to our consciousness. So think of it as practicing music. You know, concert pianists would never go on the stage of Carnegie Hall without having hours and hours and hours of practice and practice and practice. So you have to practice prayer just like you practice music. So in prayer, we step into quieting our mind. We raise, you know, above and step out of our daily busyness of our lives. We listen to spirit, that inward listening. And in prayer, we renew our connection to God. We experience the divine presence. And we remember the truth. We are whole and perfect. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And so it's never too late to start your life over with prayer. Look at Barbara Kaminsky. You know, when she was told there was absolutely nothing more to do in the outer, look what was happening within her. Now, Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, He said, whatever you pray for, whatever you're asking for, believe it, that it's already yours. And it will be yours. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. It will be yours. Don't give up too soon. I tell this, I want to say, I don't know how to get this across to you. You can't just pray once or twice and say, didn't work. God's not, not working. Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, she was told as a young child that she would inherit tuberculosis. Everybody in her family had it. Everybody died of it. That's how she grew up. At age 40, she was diagnosed with tuberculosis, and she was given 6 months to live. She had a husband and three little children. She heard a quote, an affirmation that she took into prayer, and it went like this: I am a child of God. I therefore do not inherit sickness. And she took that into prayer, not for a day or two, not for a couple hours. She took it into prayer 8 hours a day for 2 years. She prayed constantly. And she asked her body forgiveness for thinking that the cells in her body were less than whole and perfect. Within 2 years of praying 8 hours a day, she was healed and cured. She had no trace of tuberculosis, and she went on to live well into her 80s. Don't give up. We want a quick fix in today's world. Sometimes it can happen in the twinkling of an eye. Other times it may take longer. But don't give up. And, what happens if your prayers don't work? Well, it's like a light switch. There's electricity flowing all the time. And if your connections are made and your lamp is plugged in, the principle of electricity says that when you will get light every time you turn the switch on. But now if you don't get light, if you don't get an answer to prayer, then there's probably a circuit that's broken somewhere. There's a bulb that maybe is burned out, or the plug might not be plugged in. Check your connection. And how do you make that connection? Well, through prayer. And how do we pray? Well, there's just as many ways to pray as there are people in the world. There's no one right way to pray. Here's one way. Unity has what's called the 5-step method of prayer. And I want to just briefly go through this, and then we're going to experience it in meditation. But the first step in this 5-step method of prayer is relaxation. Turn off your mind and relax your body. Find a comfortable place to be. I like to sit in the same place each time I pray. I have a special little place and a chair because my body goes, oh, good, we're praying now. And so, light incense, light a candle, play some meditative music, whatever helps you get into this relaxation. And do a body scan. We'll do that in just a minute to make sure everything, that there's nothing standing between you and God. Tension, tightness can really block off that flow. You want to relax. Second step is meditation. Dwell on the idea that you are one with God. You can use, your daily word affirmation if you want. I hope you have all the. I hope you work with your daily words. These are great. Today's daily word was peace, and I know, peace within my heart, peace prevails in my world. So use that, to begin your process of meditation, or scripture. The scripture is, I'm the light of the world. You could work with that. I like peace, be still. I kind of breathe in peace and exhale, be still. And that kind of helps me begin to go inward. Whatever works for you, but begin to just kind of work with something that's going to bring your focus within to God. And then the third step is concentration. Here you begin to shift into the listening stage. You stop the chitter chatter and the talking to God, and you begin to go inward, and you begin to, if you worked with an affirmation on peace, then choose the attribute of peace to possibly concentrate on. Or if you, I'm the light of the world, then work on the light. What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What does it, sound like? Begin to be that attribute that you're concentrating on. And then that will just pull you into the silence. It will just happen. And you'll be drawn into that inner place where you feel and you know your oneness with God. And it may be a feeling, an inner knowing, an image, an idea, but you will be immersed in the presence of pure being. And then the final step, the fifth step, is always end your time with a heartfelt thank you. It's Thanksgiving. End with an attitude of gratitude. You know, knowing the good, speaking the good, expecting only good, and ending with a really rousing thank you, God. So five steps: relaxation, turn off your mind, relax, meditation, dwell in the idea you're one with God, I am peace, I am the love of God, I am light. Concentration, bring that even. You're going from the out and you're trying to really narrow it down, focus it on an attribute of God: love, joy, peace, goodness. And then silence, you're sitting in that presence of pure being. And then thanksgiving, you end with an attitude of gratitude. So it's never too late to start your life over with prayer. It just takes a shift in perception to have the miracle moment that you've been waiting for.